Okay, let's pray. Let's ask for God's help to understand this. And then we'll think about this passage from Luke. Heavenly Father, please give each of us here this morning whatever it is that we need to understand and to respond to your word this morning. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, about 10 years ago, I read a really interesting book called If I Were God, I'd Make Myself Clearer. And it's a book which compares all the different religions in the world. And in fact, just recently, someone asked me a question along these lines. Someone said, Andrew, have you ever questioned your own religious beliefs? Have you ever questioned whether they're correct, considering how many different ideas are out there and all of them claim to be right? I said, yep, a lot of times I've asked myself, is this really true? And I'm satisfied with the conclusion that I've come to. I don't know, what about you? Have you ever questioned? Have you had doubts about what you've been believing about Jesus? Is that really the truth? Well, today, we're going to think about this passage from Luke chapter 7. It's a passage which starts with a question from John the Baptist. Now who's John? Remember, John the Baptist. John, of course, he was a relative of Jesus. He was someone who began preaching about the kingdom of God before Jesus did. John was the one who baptized Jesus. John's message was, everybody, you need to repent, you need to get ready for the one who's coming after me. Because the one who comes after me is going to bring in the kingdom of God. Are you ready? John was a preacher who was fearless. John spoke out. He even spoke against the evil behavior of the king. And he ended up in prison for doing that. It seems that where we're up to in this story, the weeks and the months have gone by in prison. According to tradition, John was chained to a wall. Can you imagine how difficult that must have been for a long period of time? And John begins to question whether what he'd been teaching about Jesus was actually really correct. Because he looks around, he sees the prison cell, he sees his chains, and he goes, this isn't quite the kingdom of God that I'd imagined. And so one day, when his followers come and they're telling him, did you hear what Jesus has been doing this and Jesus has been doing this? John picks two of them and says, can you go and ask Jesus a question? Go ask Jesus, are you the one who was to come? Or should we expect someone else? Now, I want to suggest that's a really important question for our world today. It's interesting to look at what people believe around the world today. If we imagine that the whole world was a village of 100 people, this is who we'd find in that village. We'd find the biggest group, about 31 people, would identify themselves as Christians. And I know within the group there's a range of understandings, there's a range of levels of commitment and all of that. Not everybody who calls themselves a Christian really knows Christ. But we can say that in general, this group acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God come into the world. Then we'd have in the village a few different groups of people, and just for convenience I've put them into three blocks. Different groups of people who don't really have a place for Jesus in their system of belief. So that includes Hindus, and there's a number of religions that have come out of Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism. It includes traditional religions, so that's mostly Chinese and African traditional religion. And it includes a few people in the village who have given up on religion altogether. So right-hand side of this diagram are all the people who haven't really, they don't really have a place in their teaching and their thinking for Jesus' teaching, death and resurrection. But then there's one more very interesting group in our world today. That's what I'm going to call the post-Christian religions. I invented this word. So it includes Islam, it includes Baha'i, Mormons, and a whole lot of other little groups. And these guys in the yellow, these are people who actually they have a place for Jesus. You ask them, do you believe in Jesus? They'll say, of course, we like Jesus a lot. But the difference between them and the Christians is that they see Jesus as just one prophet among many. And we could think of the difference between the Christians and the post-Christians in terms of a train line. For Christians, Jesus is like Flinders Street Station. Jesus is the destination. He is the end of the line. He is the one who makes God as clear for us as it is possible to make God clear. But for post-Christian religions, Jesus is a little bit like Clifton Hill Station. Clifton Hill is a very nice station, but I've never got off there. Mostly I've just gone through it on the way to get to the city. In post-Christian religions, what ends up being most important is not the gospel of Jesus, but the teaching of somebody else who comes further down the line. And so when we look at, we see this is our world today. Do you see how John the Baptist's question is actually so important? Because John the Baptist's question addresses the left-hand side of the picture. The left-hand side. Most of the world actually has Jesus as an important person in their system of belief. But the question is, how does Jesus fit in? Jesus, are you the one at the end of the line? Or should we expect someone else after you? And so today, we're going to see how Jesus answers this question. And then we're going to look at two follow-up questions that Jesus asks and answers himself to make himself even clearer. Okay. Let's look at this. Is Jesus one of many or is he the one? Do you notice in verse 20, when these messengers come, they're actually feeling a little bit nervous about asking their question. When the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to ask you. It's like, oh, we're not really asking this for ourselves. We're just passing on a message from John. It's his question. He wants to know. So we're just... So it's really great that Jesus gives them an answer and doesn't put them down in any way. But friends, when you have honest questions, Jesus is gentle and willing to help you. There are other parts of the Bible where people come to Jesus and they're asking questions to try and trap him and make trouble, and he treats them differently. But if you have honest questions, I just want to know, I just want to figure this out, don't be afraid to ask. Notice also that Jesus answers, he begins his answer not with words, but with actions. Verse 21, at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So John's messengers are there. They see him do this. And that's really helpful. Because, I mean, I could ask any of you here today, are you a messenger from God? And if you say, yes, I am, well, how do I know whether to believe you or not? Anyone can say, oh yes, I'm a messenger from God. Yes, I'm the one who is to come. But not anyone can do what Jesus does in this sight. Heal the sick, cure the blind. And so after John's messengers have seen this stuff, Jesus tells them, okay, now, you've seen this? Go back, report to John what you've seen and heard. Okay, so what exactly does Jesus mean? Is Jesus' answer a yes or a no? Well, I think we need to understand what's important is not just the fact that Jesus can do miracles, but also what kind of miracles Jesus does. Now, did you notice in our Old Testament reading, in Isaiah chapter 35, we saw a description of the kind of things that will happen on the day when God comes to rescue his people. It included things like the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame will leap like a deer, the mute tongue will shout for joy. Does any of that sound familiar? Everywhere that Jesus physically went, he didn't just bring the message of the kingdom of heaven, but he brought the reality. We sang in one of our songs last week. Do you remember the song we sang? He walked on earth showing what? Glimpses of heaven. And so Jesus' answer is yes. Yes, he is the one. He is the one that you've been waiting for. Because look what you see. You see the kingdom of God. Okay, so that's the question and the answer to the messengers. But as the messengers go home, Jesus turns to the crowd and says, okay, I've got a question for you. Second half of verse 24. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? So he's talking about John the Baptist. And we've got to remember the story. The story of John the Baptist's ministry is back in Luke chapter 3. And John the Baptist, before he was put in prison, had a ministry with amazing spiritual power. I mean, today, as we start a new church service in the evening, we've thought through, okay, what's the most convenient location? How can we be as welcoming as possible? All really good things to think through. But you look at John the Baptist's ministry, he didn't do anything that was consumer-friendly. John went and preached in the desert. John dressed like a weirdo. John was brutally direct in telling people about their sin. I mean, as some people were turning up to his preaching, he'd shout at them and say, "You brood of vipers, what are you doing?" Like, can you imagine if we put that on our sign out the front? You know, "Come at 5 p.m, you brood of vipers." And yet, here's the thing about John's ministry. They came from all over the country, all over the city. They responded to his message. And so Jesus says, what's going on there? Think about it. What's going on? Were you guys going to the desert for a picnic to look at the grass? Were you guys going out to the desert for a fashion show? Verse 26, but what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way before you. And so Jesus quotes here from the Old Testament. This is from Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, which is on the last page of the Old Testament in our Bible. And what it says in the Old Testament, God says, a messenger will come and he will prepare the way for God himself to come. The great hope of the Old Testament prophets is that one day the suffering will come to an end because God's going to step in. God's going to be with his people. God's going to wipe away all the tears. For the prophets, there's two ages, their days and the days to come. We've actually taken on this way of thinking in our own culture by dividing all of history into BC and AD. And Jesus is trying to tell us that actually John and Jesus stand on different sides of this great divide in history. Jesus is saying there's all the prophets from the Old Testament, all through the BC years, all in a long line, and John stands at the end of that line as the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. But then Jesus comes in the other side of history, in the kingdom of God part of history. It's like all the Old Testament prophets are lined up on Broadway and John's on the corner at the traffic lights, but Jesus is over this side of the railway line. Jesus is on Edward Street. I don't know if you've ever had someone say to you, Jesus never claimed to be God. He never claimed that for himself. That's just something that the Christians made up later on. But think about this. Think very carefully about what the Old Testament says and about what Jesus says. Malachi in the Old Testament says, God will send his messenger to prepare the way and then the Lord himself will come. And Jesus says, John is the messenger. And Jesus is the one to come after him. So what's Jesus saying about himself? Figure it out. Jesus wants us to think. Once the Lord himself has come, can anyone else really come later and improve on that? Before we go to the final question and the final section of this passage, I've got a question that I want to leave with you, and this is a question I'm not going to answer now, because Jesus doesn't answer it in this passage. It's a question, actually, I'd love it if that could be something we could discuss in our small groups over a cup of tea, at morning tea in the hall. The question is, okay, if Jesus really is in the new age, he brings in the kingdom of God, why do we still have tears today? Why do Christians still suffer today, like we talked about earlier? So that's something, I've put that question on the whiteboard in the hall so you can remember what the question is. And if anyone's taking notes, you can jot down Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, which will give you a bit of a clue to the answer. But that question's homework. In this passage, there's one more issue that Jesus wants us to get clear on. See, Jesus has talked about the differences between him and John. Differences. Different part in... a very different part to play in God's plan. But what about their message? Did they preach two different messages? Or did they preach the same message? And again, this is a helpful question for us to think about today, because there are a number of post-Christian religions that will say, oh, God's message has changed over time, and that all we really need is whatever the latest version of God's message is. Some of my dear Muslim friends, whom I love, will say to me, really, if you have the Quran, if you have the latest version, you don't need what came earlier. You don't need the gospel, because it's been replaced by God's book version 4.0. And so Luke points out some really interesting background information, which helps us think through this. Verses 29 and 30. Verse 29 and 30 is not Jesus speaking, it's the author's comment, the author's observation of what was happening. It says, all the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Do you notice the because that comes up there? Jesus is saying the people who accepted John's message also accepted Jesus' message. The people who rejected John's message, those same people also rejected Jesus' message. That's because there is one God who has one way. Both John and Jesus taught about that way. And sure, Jesus develops the teaching, gives us more clarity. But Jesus never tells us, oh, forget about what came before. He draws on what came before. That's why we hold on to Old and New Testament as one message. And Jesus makes an interesting observation about the people who rejected both him and John. He says, verse 31, he says, the people who reject me, actually, they're a bit childish in the explanation that they give. You know, kids, how sometimes kids just want to complain no matter what you do. Jesus is saying, imagine two little groups of kids, and one group wants to says, hey, let's play weddings. And the other kids say, really? Boring. And so the first group of kids says, all right then, let's play funerals. And the other group says, oh, really? Jesus says, when it came to John, he was a serious guy. John the Baptist, he lived a simple lifestyle in the desert. He ate locusts. Often he fasted from eating at all so he could concentrate on prayer. John wouldn't touch any alcohol, and John's opponents looked at him and said, this guy's crazy. Why would we listen to him? Then Jesus comes along, and Jesus spends a whole lot of his time traveling from town to town and visiting people and eating and drinking and talking with them at parties. And those same people say, oh, here's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Do you see how they can't win either way? So what about you? If you have doubts about Jesus, honest questions are good. Ask your honest questions. Search for answers. Jesus isn't expecting from us some sort of stupid faith that doesn't think. But as you ask, as you search, be fair in your search. Don't reject Jesus, don't reject the Bible just because you think it's a bit weird or because you don't want to like it. Be willing to listen and to hear what Jesus really does have to say. Because not only did people make big claims about Jesus, but also Jesus made big claims about himself. We've seen today that according to Jesus' own words, he can't be just a stepping stone along the way to somebody else. Jesus, by his own claims, claims to be the one who meets all the hopes and the dreams and the longings of humanity. Jesus claims to be the one who shows us the nature and the glory of God more clearly and more brightly than any other person ever could. And so with claims like that, each and every one of us needs to think very carefully about what Jesus said and about how we're going to respond. So let's finish there, and let's talk more about that in the hall. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have acted, that you have stepped in to bring your kingdom and your blessing through Jesus. I thank you that in Jesus we can really truly know you. We don't have to look for any more than Jesus. Father, please, where we have doubts, where we have struggles, please strengthen us. Please give us answers. Please give us understanding. Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.